When the choir presents their message next week, it's an outstanding focus on the resurrection of Jesus. And what people call as Holy Week is by far the most detailed part of Jesus' life in the Bible. In fact, if you were to take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just read the chapters that had to do with what we know as Palm Sunday, riding into Jerusalem to the resurrection of Jesus, it would be about more than 28 chapters of the Bible. That would be if Matthew, for example, said, I'll just write about 8 days or so in Jesus' life. Let me write about those. They're so important. And then Mark, Luke, and John wrote about the other part of the 3 years. You'd say, well, Matthew, he really zeroed in on something really critical here. And that's appropriate because that was the mission of Jesus, you know, to give his life for lost sinners like you and me. We were lost without Christ, and rise from the dead, showing himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this is how God ordained that day. Just to put a few background things behind me, if I had folks to put on a pre-cantata cantata, you might say. And here's the gospel background of what was going on that particular day and perhaps a little into the next day when Jesus came into the city. First, you have the Savior. Don't miss him. The King comes for you. Remember, that was one of the initial messages. And so if your soul says, I need Christ, I need God, he put that idea in your soul. And he would come and be your Savior. Receive him. Then there's the donkey. Prophecy fulfilled from Zechariah. Here he comes. Someone that would touch the people where they're at, not run them over, you know, in that way. There's the palms of praising God. They were often used for a conquering army that would come into town. And if you didn't want to get wiped out by the army, the winning team, grab the palm and said, three cheers for you. You know, so maybe it was some were sincere praises, some weren't. You know, the palm is not going to make it sincere or not sincere, but your heart would. Interesting, in heaven, that is shown in Revelation chapter 7, you have people praising God, Christ, with palm branches. So, you know, if you take one today, and I remember when we were little, we used to take one, and man, it seemed to be in the house for months and months, if not all the way to Christmas. You know, some of your loved ones who are with Christ in heaven, maybe they have the palm branches saying, yeah, we praise God too, up here. And we're down here doing that also. But that was happening. Then you have the confusion of the disciples. If you're ever confused about the Lord, you know, don't beat up yourself. You're right in with the rest of the crowd. Confusion of the disciples, they don't know. Then you have the conflict with the religious folks. If you're real religious, guess what? Jesus is going to butt heads with you. Constantly. And that's what happened. There was the parade and the praises to him. People were saying, oh, Lord, save us. That's Hosanna. Boy, if you don't know what to pray to make a turnaround in your life, veteran Christian, oh, Lord, save me. Be close to me again. Person who never received Christ, oh, Lord, save me. He'll answer that prayer. There's desperation. There's anticipation in the crowd. There's the sadness of the king happening. There's children shouting in the temple area. You know what? If you hear, when my little, young ones were younger, they would be noisy, you know. And shh. Tell those children to keep it down in there. Don't you know it's worship time? Well, it's not the first time children were noisy in and around the temple courts. You know, people said, be quiet. And Jesus said, no, you be quiet. You know, these children are praising me, and if they don't praise me, then the stones and the rocks will praise me also. And what does Jesus say as he comes into the town? And really, the emotional impact on some of those people, they could have been singing like we sing about the second coming. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the children shouting, and now his face I see. Praise God, he's coming for me. That's what you want to say on the Palm Sunday. And what does Jesus say as all this is going on? He says some things right before, and he says, I wanted to be close to you, but you didn't want that. Okay, so we have to come to grips if that's where we're at. in our soul. He says, my place, my house, gathering place will be a house of prayer for all nations. Okay, and then he says, the time has come for the Son to be glorified. He says that. He says, God has ordained praise. And so let that happen in there. So we have the greatness of the heroic Savior and His sacrificial death coming. And He's going to take on all the evil that He was right there in Jerusalem or even in our own soul. He takes it on. We'll talk about that momentarily. But Jesus points us to worship when He comes to the city because these children are being loud and the palms and everything. And he says this: the place of worship would be a house of prayer for all nations. It's almost like a missionary reminder in there for all nations. Because a lot of those people who were coming to the Passover were not of absolute Jewish background. There were some Gentiles mixed in there who, you know, they just want to fit in with what's going on. They had conquered the land, so you might as well see what the native Hebrews are up to. And so there was a court, actually, in the worship area that the folks who didn't know anything about the Lord could be, just, you know, out there. The court of the Gentiles. And Jesus made a big deal about the Gentiles throughout His ministry and even during Holy Week. So the Gentiles, people who didn't believe in the one true God and certainly didn't have a place of worship in terms of closeness. Jesus had a place in His heart for the Gentiles. You see it on Palm Sunday. In fact, He did most of His ministry in Gentile territory. You know, where's He at? He's over with the unbelievers. What's He doing over there? Well, He came to give His life a ransom for many. Jewish background, yes. Those who don't know God, yes. He comes for them too. One Christian guy said, they're the unwashed masses, you know. They were the people at the corner tavern last night. See, they're barely around church nowadays. And gypsies, tramps, and thieves. If Cher were commenting on Palm Sunday, that's what she'd say. You know, there they are. What in the world are they doing here? In His last week, Jesus reached out to a number of Gentiles, total pagan folk, before Pilate. Okay, Pilate is curious about Jesus. Doesn't verbally give his life to Jesus, but does everything he can in his divided heart to not have Jesus hurt. Okay, he panics. He has him terribly beaten and wants to let him go. But Jesus tells Pilate, you know, you have no power unless it's given to you from above. So Jesus is like, he's preaching to Pilate, saying, Pilate, you know, there's somebody that you answer to, and it's important that you're at peace with God. He's reaching out to Pilate. There's a pagan soldier that gets converted on the day Jesus dies. He says, surely this man was the Son of God. So he's a bad man. He's a murdering fella. Jesus has a guy, or God ordains a man who has a Gentile background to carry the cross, Simon of Cyrene. Hey, you get over here and you be a part of this. You know, walk through the walk of the cross here. Passover. Mr. Gentile, he probably doesn't even, I don't even know what the Passover is. Now all of a sudden I'm carrying a cross. What is all this? Jesus has something for him. Cares about that. And the temple. Okay, it has to be more available to people like Simon and the Gentile folks. Interesting, the money changers were in the court of the Gentiles when they were doing their, you know, here's a lamb if you want, and this is so much for you to get your sins taken care of. We don't want to make the finances the total focus of worship. You know, we definitely want to stay away from that. Stay away from that. But Jesus said, hey, I'm going to clear this out because this is supposed to be a prayer place for all nations so that the Gentile people who hardly know anything about God could come and be way back there. But maybe, you know, maybe they'll turn to the one true God. That was a big part of Jesus' motivation for clearing the temple, not just all the, you know, high things, high prices that the religious folks were concerned about. And we can connect with Jesus' concern for that, for people around us. And after the temple was cleared, people come up to Jesus who were also Gentile, three Greeks. And they come up to Philip and they say, Sir, could we see Jesus? Okay, and Philip goes and asks Andrew, do you think it's okay if these three are here? And Andrew has to go to ask Jesus, Could we have these three in here? And Jesus said, boy, you know, I'll draw all people to myself when I die. Goes for these three Greeks, for my Jewish brothers and sisters whom I love, and for anybody who would turn to me. So wherever you're at, you could be religious background, Jewish guy. You could be, I'm a total stranger to church, Holy Week. I don't even know why they call it Holy Week. Had a friend, somebody we knew said, you know, what's Easter? I don't even know what Easter is. Jesus said, well, we're going to put you in the Easter story. There's a place for you. Someone said it was a good thing these three Greeks asked Philip to see Jesus and didn't ask Peter, because Peter would have told them to hit the road. Peter had very little love for the Gentiles. You know, Peter might have said, hey, this is our week. This is Passover week. This is for us. Whether you're here or not, I don't really care. But I'm here to get something out of it for me. That's right. This is our time. This is our turf. So, too bad for you. We don't want to get into that mentality. Very easy to do for people used to the holy times. And so, the church doesn't want to be in that pattern. Charles Spurgeon said, to worship God, but to put only what is to the advantage of yourself is to not worship God. And to forget that He is the God of the nations. A lot of people may be Lord speaking to, who not even in a Palm Sunday service, probably won't get to a service from here until Christmas. See, Jesus said, oh, there's a court for them that I want to reach out to them. And he comes to the nations. He comes to the Jewish folks. He comes to the Gentiles. He comes to the religious corruption. You could say, well, I'm a part of everything that I don't want it to miss be not about Jesus. He'll come to you to help you with that. And cleanse that temple of our soul so we could just worship Him alone. He could come to the ones who know nothing about God. He comes to those who feel personal rejection, just like those Gentiles did. And the Jewish folks, I think, felt personal rejection from God, from others, because they felt persecuted, and from their own self, because they knew they were not right with God. And somehow these ceremonies, see, were not going to be sufficient enough to get them right with God. Not the sacrificing animals. They needed this would not never take the sins away. It was going to have to be God Himself come and offer His dear Son and His dear plan. And so Jesus is taking it all on Himself. Every sin we ever did, being of a religious nature, you know, we became self-righteous, or of a rebellious nature. We just lived like the pagans and we didn't know it. Jesus would say, your King comes to you. He can rescue you. And someone said the whole plan of salvation we could see in Palm Sunday as man put himself in the place of God. He said, no, we run the temple. Okay? And this is our plan of salvation for us alone. Man put himself in the place of God, but instead God put himself in the place of man. He said, I see humanity, and then there's sin, and there's death, and there's hell. And I'm putting myself in that place. so that the dear creation, the dear people that I love might turn to me and have life and life forever. And in the even in the prayer and the praises time, I heard John MacArthur give a message this past week. He said he was asked one time to give a message for hindrances for worship. And so he was all excited about that sermon series. And he's thinking about worship and how people have worshiped God. So he's thinking and thinking, what's hindrances for worship? What would it be? What would it be? He said he can only come up with one word. Self. There it was. You know, he puts down self, S-E-L-F. I can't think of anything else. You know, there wouldn't be any style that would really hold anybody back. There wouldn't be any ceremony that was too serious that would hold anybody back. It would just be where a person's heart would be that God would come and say, hey, I'll be the one to connect you with God, and you could have life forever with the Son. Closing in prayer, or in the testimony, an old buddy of mine who was a pretty raucous sinner in his life and came to Christ. He was one of those gypsies, tramps, and thieves guys. My old friend Larry. If there was sin going on somewhere, Larry was interested. And Larry was committed to getting there and joining in. That's Larry. But he knew that he could not live like that and be at peace with himself or at peace with God. And so he hears from his friends and from his family, Larry, you need Christ. He could change your life. He can give you a new desire and a new want-to. So he finally turns to Christ, and his conversion is pretty much like this. Reluctance and almost stamping his foot. Okay, Lord, you win. I mean, that's how he started. Okay, Lord, you win. But that changed as he knew the goodness of God to a testimony that said, yes, Lord, you win. You win. You win in my life. And follows the Lord in a trusting manner. So, where your heart is today, whether you're in the crowd or in the place of worship, whether confusion, rejection, or reluctance, or just self, Christ would come and be a Savior to you. Would you receive Him as such, follow Him as such this week, honor Him as such? Let's pray together as we gather around His table.